Hello and welcome to the Oxygen Addict podcast. We're brought to you every week by our sponsors, Precision Fuel and Hydration.com. You can personalize your fueling and hydration strategy so you perform at your best with 15% off your first order of electrolytes and carbohydrate fuel with the code OXYGEN24 at Precision Fuel and Hydration.com. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Coach Rob Wilby, and every week we bring you an episode of this podcast to help motivate and inspire you for your triathlon goals for this season. Listen, a couple of quick things you could do for us before we jump into today's episode. If you do like this episode, please consider following us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And also, if you're watching on YouTube, if you could like and subscribe, that would really help out the growth of the show. It helps the show get shown to more people by the algorithm on the podcast players and on YouTube. So we'd really, really appreciate that. And secondly, if you're looking for help and advice with your triathlon training, please consider getting in touch with us. You can read all about what we offer at teamoxygenaddict.com. And then you can email us at help@oxygenaddict.com. Or there's a link in the show notes to book a call with me or one of the coaching team. We can discuss how we can best help you out with your triathlon goals for this season. This episode has been brought about by a listener email that came in. I found out subsequently it came in through Instagram as well, through a DM there. But as any of you who follow us on Instagram know, I'm absolutely useless at doing social media. So I very rarely check the DMs there. So apologies if you're one of the people who tries to do that. If you want to get in contact, help@oxygenaddict.com is the best way to do that. So our listener, Darren N, he got in contact firstly via Instagram and then via email to ask a question. And I thought it would make a really great episode at this time of year to discuss this question. It's around feeling burnt out, feeling unmotivated. Darren writes, I'm going to read his email out to you here. He says, "Hi, I've been listening to the podcast for a while now and picked up loads of tips and advice for training and nutrition. Thanks very much. I've been competing in triathlon for 7 years and completed my first Ironman event in Barcelona back in October last year. I managed to get round in 11:26, including a spill on the bike." Hey, so well done. That's a solid time, regardless of coming off the bike. That's amazing. You even got to the finish. But my question is, since completing the race, I found it increasingly difficult to find the motivation to train for this season. There's lots of episodes about pre-race training and preparation, but not much about the post-Ironman blues. When I get to the pool or on the bike, I enjoy it, but I've just got zero motivation. Is there any advice you could give on the matter? Thanks, Darren." So I thought what a great topic this would be. It is one of the not talked about topics amongst long distance endurance training is, and this is an interesting one. I've been in the sport for 23 years this summer doing 70.3s and Ironmans. And although I'm not competitive anymore, I'm only going to go back a few years to think it's a sport where people are really, really passionate about it for a period of years and then just seem to disappear. It's really not unusual for after a sort of 3 to 5 year period, somebody won't rejoin a club, won't come out on a ride, will stop answering text messages. Sometimes people just disappear off your radar completely. And I think there's almost a natural story arc to people's taking part in 70.3 and iron distance triathlon in particular. And it's largely around not managing training volume and not managing your expectations around your first season. I'm an example of someone who's been in this sport, like I said, for over 20 years. And although I'm not competing at Ironman anymore, I'm still doing all the training and loving it. And a big part of the longevity aspect of it is planning what you're going to do every year, sense checking it with somebody to make sure it's reasonable, taking a little bit of a step back and making sure what you're trying to do is both reasonable and sustainable in the long term, and then actioning that plan. Because for me, I go back and I credit my first athletics coach when I was 13, a guy called Alan Horton. I was desperate to win stuff. And he used to say to me, "I'm not bothered whether you win stuff or not. I'm going to measure my success as a coach by whether you're still competing when you're my age." And he was in his 60s at the time. And I've got to say, he did a good job of protecting me as a 13-year-old from my worst instincts to train myself into the ground. And I did a pretty damn good job of training myself into the ground, left to my own devices in my 20s and 30s. But he instilled the idea in me that this shouldn't be something you do to win races. This should be something that you race because you enjoy the process of training all the time. If you get a lifelong love of the training, it's never going to be a chore. The races become the cherry on the cake rather than the cake itself. And I give him a lot of credit for that. He obviously fundamentally affected the way that my brain worked over the years, because even as a kid, I saw the kids who were beating me at 13 and 14 drop out of the sport at 15 and 16. And gradually over a period of years, me and my little training group got better and started winning things as a consequence, I think, of loving the training. And as a consequence of, I'm not going to say never getting an injury or a niggle, because that doesn't happen to anybody, but very, very rarely getting an injury or a niggle that kept us out of doing certainly nothing serious. We weren't overtrained, we weren't burnt out, we weren't fed up. So we continued doing it. And I'm still in touch with a couple of those guys now, and they're still active as well. They're maybe not racing and going to road races and trying to win stuff, but they're still out there training 5-6 days a week to stay healthy and fit. And that's my wish for you, either as a listener, someone who's viewing on YouTube, one of our athletes who we coach. It's less about getting you to a point where you absolutely crush a race and get the most amazing performance possible and are out of the sport in a year or two. It's more about this lifelong love of balancing the training alongside all the other aspects of your life so you can be fit and healthy for the rest of your life. And if that means you get to do events as well along the way, fantastic. But I'm a big believer that if you try to do too much too early, then that's only going to lead one way. And so often if we have athletes who come to us who say, right, I've entered 3 or 4 Ironmans that next year, I tend to go to people, whoa, okay, right, take a step back. Before you actually click go on this, let's think about this logically. Let's think about the, you know, training for an Ironman is a really big commitment of time. And the people who can do more than one of them a year around a normal family, a normal job life, and there are going to be outliers here, don't get me wrong, there's going to be people who've, you know, got different family situations, or there are people who have got their own businesses or are the boss and can take time out. But for the vast majority of normal people we're talking to, one Ironman a year, a couple of 70.3s and some other races, you can keep that rolling year after year after year and feel really excited by it. People I've known who've tried to take this multiple Ironmans a year approach, the training becomes a chore after a certain time. And I don't want that for you. I want you to be absolutely loving the training and almost be doing an event to justify doing the training at the end of the day, to, as a benefit and an unexpected consequence. So Darren, to come back to your question, you're absolutely not alone. It's something I've seen a lot of over the years. And if we can help save you from that, then if we can get your motivation back up and you can become a lifelong endurance athlete rather than someone who's done the one Ironman and then says, do you know what, that's it, I'm done, I'm burnt out. Let's see if we can rekindle that fire for you. So before we go into my talking points that I've come up with today, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors, Precision Fuel and Hydration. I want you to go over to their website, check out their free fuel and hydration planning tool. You can receive a personalized strategy for your next race. The plan will help you understand your own carbohydrate, electrolyte, and fluid needs so you can refine a strategy during training that you can use in a race. It's not as simple as just drinking water. It's not as simple as just having some electrolytes or just eating some carbs. They've all got to balance each other out. And what you'll need will be different for you, the race you're doing, how hot it is, how long the event is, what kind of sweater you are, whether you're a heavy sweater, a salty sweater. Now, PF&H have got this awesome calculator on their website. It's a series of questions you answer, and it just gives you some guidance at the end and says, you are going to need, you know, roughly this much carbohydrate, roughly this concentration of electrolytes. And if you're racing long distance and or racing in the heat of the summer, the electrolytes is as essential a part of staying hydrated as the fluid is. And the staying hydrated part is as essential. And the carbohydrate intake, they are as essential to your success on race day as the training that you've put in the run-up to it. So I don't want to see anybody fail on race day who's really fit, but just hasn't got the carbs right, the electrolytes or the water right. So go over there. You can even book a free one-to-one video call with PF&H's expert athlete support team. They're really happy to help you nail your race nutrition plan and help you perform really well on race day. So yeah, you go over there, take care of these little details. even if you start planning now for a race that you're not doing for 3 or 4 months' time, I'm going to advise anyone racing long distance to be practicing their carbohydrate grams per hour intake, their electrolyte and fluid intake on their long runs and long rides now, so it isn't new to you a couple of weeks before race day. Get in the habit of doing that now. Okay, so head on over to precisionfuelandhydration.com. If you're a new customer, use our code OA23. You will get a nice 15% discount off your first order. That's precisionfuelandhydration.com. Okay, right then. Over to this week's episode where we're talking about battling Ironman burnout. Oh, excuse me. A little bit of a drink there. I've got a bit of a dry throat. So some ideas that I've had going forward then to help you battle the burnout. The first thing is, number one, let's recognize the signs of burnout. Let's define what this means. You're going to find that you're either consistently tired or run down. You're going to find that you're lacking the motivation to train. You don't really want to do races anymore. Or you're going to find that you've got difficulty sleeping or staying asleep in a really extreme case. It's not unusual for athletes to come to me and say, look, I've been waking up really early in the morning and thinking about the sessions that I've got to do. I'm going to bed late at night thinking about the sessions that I've got to do. Or I'm going to bed thinking about the races that I should be wanting to do, but I don't appear to be wanting to take part in them anymore. So there's a kind of early warning system here. If you recognize during your training that you're consistently tired and you consistently run down, you can address that. You can address it because your training and your life balance isn't correct. Now, it's easy for me to address with athletes that we coach because I'm giving them a well-balanced training plan. I'm getting feedback from them all the time on how they're feeling. We're measuring HRV, the heart rate variability. So that's a kind of fail-safe to make sure you're not training hard when you're really under stress anyway. So all these things will help, but it comes back to the early warning system aspect of it. If you can get ahead of this and take more recovery when you need it and have a break almost before you need it, you can kind of guarantee your longevity there. Something I really want you thinking about is, if you're constantly feeling every day through a 20-week training plan that you've got to force yourself to train, that isn't sustainable even for 20 weeks. So you need to do some rejigging and you need to work out what is almost what's appropriate for you. It tends to be a real issue with athletes who are self-coached in inverted commas. And I'm doing the inverted commas for a reason. I don't believe that you can be self-coached. You can be self-trained, but coaching is a process of reflecting to another person how you're feeling and getting them to reflect back to you what they're hearing, almost like counseling is. You can't counsel yourself or give yourself therapy. It's the same with this. You need someone to reflect back to you what your feelings are and what your thought process is. And often our thought process is faulty. And one of the greatest lines I hear from athletes before they tell me about an injury or an illness is, I know my body pretty well, but... That's usually a sign that none of us know our bodies pretty well. We need some feedback from an external source. And often it just takes somebody else to give us permission to go, do you know what? I'm going to make this decision for you. No, we're not going to do this. We're going to step back. As a self-coached athlete, my experience was always, I'm going to make myself do what I don't think other people are willing to do, so I will be able to race them come race day. I was always driving myself to do more. And if I was in doubt, I would do more rather than less. In a coaching relationship that helped me extend that idea of longevity, it was very much about a coach saying to me, no, I think we're going to step back from this. We're not going to do this. And it was really hard for me to hear, but it was always the right decision. This knowing that there is always tomorrow. And often left to our own devices, we're just going to push ourselves a bit too hard rather than operate just below our capacity. And I think that's the way to think about it. It's a ceiling, not a target. If you can operate every day just under that capacity ceiling, rather than constantly trying to push against it, you're going to have a much longer training life. And I'd caution here against taking advice on the internet from people who don't have anything invested in your success. You've only got to go onto Facebook and look at some of the triathlon forums. There's always a handful of people on there who are going to be telling people what they think they should and shouldn't do just based on them trying to reflect the kind of person they want to be as the person that's going to push someone else into more of it. And when I run the coach training courses for British Triathlon, it's one of the first things I say to our coach candidates is, look, your job is going to be to say no to people an awful lot. If you're getting into this because you want to be a cheerleader or because you want to be a sergeant major and either motivate people or encourage or bully people into doing stuff, you're doing this for the wrong reasons. What we need is more compassionate coaches who are going to help highly motivated athletes step back from the brink a little bit and give them permission to have that little break. Because what you're effectively doing is stopping them trying to work at 110% all the time and getting them just down under the 100 of their capacity. So think about that. Recognize the early signs of burnout and do something about it. The next thing you can do, part two of this, is to mix up your training routine. That'll really help you stay engaged. So what do we mean by training routine? Well, some things you can try. You can try new types of workouts. So if you've just been inside on the turbo trainer, get yourself outside for a ride. If it's winter time and you can't ride and you could get out on your mountain bike, change it up with that, but get yourself doing something slightly different. Often just a change of focus, even going out and deciding that you'll still be on your time trial bike, for example, but today you're going to focus on riding different blocks at different cadences rather than just riding along, or focusing little sections on holding your aero position. That can be a change of your training routine that can really shake things up for you. The next thing you can do is you can switch up the location of your training workouts. So get yourself to somewhere different. You don't have to put your bike in your car and drive very far to get yourself to the point where you realize, actually, I'm in a completely different area. One of my favorite things to do as an athlete was to stick the bike in the car and drive 30, 40 minutes away. And actually, that can get you, if you've got a decent motorway network, that can get you 50 miles away from where you are, and you're into a whole completely different set of roads that you've never seen before. With the advent of GPS and Garmin, you can plot a route that leads from a car park 50 miles away and get yourself back safely and see a completely different area. So that's something that you can do as well. And another thing that's worth thinking about is finding new people to train with. If you train on your own all the time, just going out for a run or a ride or meeting someone for a swim can make a real difference. It can really give you that motivation to meet the person to go and do it. Make it like a social event to meet somebody to go and do something. That can be the impetus that gets you out of the door for a certain time on a day when you might otherwise not get something done. So to go over those three again, got new types of workouts, changing the location of your workouts, and having different training buddies to work from. Okay, part three, think about setting goals and tracking progress. Now, I mentioned earlier on, the athletes I work with and coach, this isn't something that's difficult for them because it's inbuilt right from the start. We've got the race that they're aiming for. We've got the training plan leading up to it. We've got specific markers along the way that we want our athletes to hit in terms of either bike power or run pace or heart rate at pace or swim CSS, you name any of the metrics we can work towards. Setting yourself those goals can make a real difference. So the first thing you get yourself to do is create yourself a SMART goal that you want to achieve. So just go with the old, from the internet, Google it: specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. And get yourself a little goal for something you want to do, even if that is just, I want to get myself out for one run, one ride, and one swim this week. And there you go, the specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound right there. The end of the week, you have a little check-in and see if you've managed to do that. A great way to get into logging your training, if you don't already do it, is to use one of the online training logs. Now, all my athletes use Training Peaks. There's other options out there. There's Final Surge. There's tons of other things as well. Massive believer in keeping that online training diary. That can really, really help you. Okay, so the training log can help you keep track of what you've done. And if you're not feeling so good, you can look back and feel better that you've got that training logged down. The last part of this is, give yourself a little reward for achieving those goals. Make that first goal really achievable, but then celebrate it. Get yourself a little present. Buy some new kit. I'm on the list actually for later on, but buying something new is a great thing that you do to treat yourself for getting the training done. So even if your progress is only small, celebrate it. The fourth talking point I've put down here is find a support network that's going to keep you accountable. So if you're not coached and you're not in a club, join a triathlon club, then you've got people to meet up with and go and train with, or find a training group in your local area where you can meet people and go out and train with them. That will be a massive motivator in getting yourself out of the door for a specific time. Similarly, just finding a single training buddy you can go out and meet with will have the same effect. So that's something I used to do with my long runs all the time. I had a friend, Matt, that I used to meet up with, and we could just agree to meet at a certain time, run out and back for an hour, and then both get off and get on with our days. But the days I'd agreed to meet him, I'd get the long run done. And the days I didn't, very often work would get in the way. I'm sure a lot of people are in a similar position to this. Having something in the calendar that means you've got to go and do it means you'll get it done. The third thing to think about is hiring a professional coach to change the stimulus of your training and making sure you're balancing your life and your training load. Now, there is a little bit of a shout out to our sponsors here, because obviously this is what I do for a living. But the reason I give a shout out to our sponsors here is because I know how effective it is for the people who've come on board and joined us. And when we have people book membership calls and chat it through, when they join, at the end of their first week, when they do a wrap up of how things have changed, one of the things they always say is, it is so much easier for me to outsource the worry and the thinking about the training plan to somebody else. Just get on with putting my mental energy into doing the training plan rather than having to think about what I should be doing next. And often athletes tell me it was all they used to think about before. They were constantly thinking about, how did that last workout go? What should the next workout be? Having all of that worry outsourced to somebody is, you know, it can save you tons and tons and tons of mental effort and can really solve that burnout issue. Now, the only thing I would say is make sure this is a professional that you're going to here. I mentioned earlier this problem of there are people on the internet who want to come across like experts. Just make sure that the person you're talking to is qualified, experienced, and certified. They're the three checks that I would do. And if a person can't answer those questions when you ask them, if you're considering hiring them as a coach, what's your experience, what are your qualifications, and what are your certifications? They can't answer that, or they tell you a reason why one of those three is not important to you, why you shouldn't be bothered, they don't have it, there's a red flag for you. So there's plenty of really good professionals out there. There's British Triathlon website's got coach directories. Ironman website's got coach directories. All of those people have been well trained. So pick your mentors wisely. Okay, number five, let's talk about taking recovery days and taking time off from training. So first up, if you're a long-time listener of the show, you'll have heard me say this loads of times before. You need to plan in your recovery and your time off before you plan in the training. That's got to be the fundamental first non-negotiable, because if you don't recover from the training you're doing, you may as well not have done the training in the first place. It's when you have that recovery time that your body's fitness increases. Otherwise, you're just going to keep on getting more and more tired. So schedule recovery days, schedule time off, and take that time when it's recovered. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have a complete rest day every week, although for a lot of athletes, that's appropriate. But the recovery day has to be a recovery day. If you're going to go to the pool and do a recovery swim, you have to be a good enough swimmer that you can swim really easy and honestly get out feeling more relaxed than when you went in and feeling more recovered. If you're the kind of personality who gets in for a recovery swim and ends up doing a really hard interval session, that doesn't count as a recovery swim. That's not a recovery day. And it's going to have a knock on later in the week. In my athlete's plans, I plan in Monday as the recovery day because A, I want it to be the first thing that the athlete sees in the week because it's that important. And B, it's often following the end of a big weekend that's often got a big volume of training in, and it's often at the end of a big week. So we really need that recovery. Next thing to think about is actually taking some time off from training during the week, during the year. So it's okay to go away and have a holiday. It's okay to go skiing in the winter. It's okay to go and have a beach holiday and not do any training. Your world is not going to fall apart if you have a total week off from training. And athletes often say, well, how long will it take me to get my fitness back after having 7 days off? And the answer is 0 days. You will have lost no fitness in that time that you've had off. Now, I'm not suggesting you should have 7 complete days off leading up to a race, but if you have 7 complete days off, come back, roll back into your training plan. After 2 or 3 days, you won't even remember that you've not been training anymore. You'll probably feel better for it. So it's okay to have a guilt-free holiday, okay? And the third tip I'd give you is plan some stuff in. This is going to be really controversial for our Ironman athletes here. Plan some stuff in every week that doesn't involve Ironman or thinking about Ironman in any way. Doesn't involve going out for a meal and talking to your spouse about it. Doesn't involve reading a magazine about triathlon. Doesn't involve watching it on YouTube. Find a hobby that's something completely different and will completely take your mind off it. With the caveat here, that hobby has got to not damage the training that you've already done. So I don't want you deciding that your hobby to take your mind off training is going to be going to the pub and having 15 pints, because that's going to be counterproductive. But having some kind of thing you can go away and do that isn't going to have a physical impact on the rest of your training, but completely takes your mind off it, going to the cinema, whatever, have something that you can do. And I guarantee that your spouse will thank you for just a little bit of time every week where you're not talking about tire pressure and the kind of skin suit you're going to buy for the race next year. And then talking point number six I've got here is emphasizing the fun in training. The reason we do this is it's enjoyable. We love it. The reason we got into it, because at some point, I guarantee all of you have walked by a shop, looked in the window, and then looked back at that bike in the window and gone, oh my God, I've got to have that. Turned left and gone into the shop. You've all been drawn into a running shoe shop to look at the running shoes, or you've all been drawn in because you wanted to go to the beautiful swimming pool somewhere. It's about enjoying the activity that we do, right? So focus on the enjoyment of the training rather than the outcome. Remember, it's okay to just go for a run, just go for a ride, just go for a swim, and it not be about times, paces, power, just to enjoy being out there in the outdoors. I'm a really, really big fan of using your runs every week as a hassle, stress-free, relaxing time out in nature. And especially when you're miles away from your A race, it's absolutely a brilliant way to wind down, to go for a run in the forest. Now, as you approach your A race in the last 12 weeks before your A race, you're going to want your runs to be specific. But the rest of the year, give yourself that break and get out into nature and really enjoy the feeling of being out in a different environment, okay? Try some new routes or locations for the workouts and keep things fresh. As I've already said, stick the bike in the car and drive 50 miles away. One of my favorite things to do is incorporating some fun challenges with friends and training partners when you're out there. So whatever that might be, whether it's challenging your partner to come up with a new route to take you somewhere where you've never been, or whether it's deciding you're going to go out and enter some kind of cross-country race together, there are things that you can do that will really break up the monotony of your everyday training, just getting something different done, okay? So I hope those ideas have been helpful for you. There's a ton of stuff in there. I think that the big idea to wrap this back around to is your training shouldn't feel like a chore. It shouldn't feel as though you have to do the training so that you can do an event. Sounds like in your case, you're not ready to do another Ironman yet. You just need to find the love in the training again. And when you have done, you'll find yourself naturally inspired to enter an event to do. But like I said, have that be the cherry on the cake, not the cake itself. And I think you won't go far wrong with that. That brings us to the end of this week's episode. So here are some discount codes and deals for you. Over at precisionfuelandhydration.com, use the code OXYGEN24 for 15% off your first electrolyte order. And over at teamoxygenaddict.com, I think we've got the most comprehensive triathlon coaching program for busy age groupers. If you've enjoyed what you've heard today and the advice has helped you out, well, great stuff. I hope that's helped put some of your fears at rest. And I know from some of the calls we've had, it's helping raise the right questions in the minds of people as to whether their current coaching relationship is working for them. If you're looking for a change, or if you're looking for high quality, proven coaching for Ironman or 70.3 triathlon this year, you can just check out the details of our coaching packages on our website at teamoxygenaddict.com. And then if you're interested, there's a link in the show notes below. You can join our waiting list and you'll be notified if a slot becomes available. And at that point, you'll have a chance to book a call with us and see if you'd be a good fit for joining the team. So although we don't have slots available at the moment, we'll make those call appointments available to people as and when we do have athletes who end their coaching packages during the season, if and when that happens. So remember, there's links in the show notes, so you don't have to remember them. Till next week, have a great, safe training and racing week. I'm Coach Rob Wilby, and you've been listening to the Oxygen Addict Podcast. See ya.